So it's New Year's 2022. Everybody's so excited about it, right? I mean, I could see it when you guys walked through the door this morning. Everybody's sitting there thinking, man, this is it. We've turned a corner. We've turned a page, though. We really have. And, but I want to say this morning, it's time for us to forget now that this is a new year, the second day of this new year. I want to put what's behind me. I want to forget about the past and I want to move on forward because that's the way we should be, right? We should forget about the past because God has. Amen. We got to put the stuff behind us. And in the Bible, in Philippians, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Philippians chapter 3 this morning, I want to read just a couple scriptures from verse 12 to 14. And give you a moment. When you're there, say amen. Or you can just read it off the screen, say amen. Give you every opportunity, right, to read the Word. You know, I ain't making this stuff up, right? Got to keep me accountable. So verse 12 says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, well over 100 years ago, a young man ran for the legislature here in Illinois, and he was badly defeated. He then entered business and failed, and spent the next 17 years paying off the debts of a worthless partner that he had. He fell in love with a beautiful girl and was engaged to be married, but she died before the wedding. He then entered politics again and ran for Congress, but he lost again. He tried to get an appointment to the U.S. Land Office, but he did not succeed. He then became a candidate for the U.S. Senate, but he lost that election as well. He then became a candidate for Vice President of the United States, but again, they were defeated. Defeat after defeat and failure after failure led this man where? You would think he would just give it up. Man, politics just doesn't seem to be what he's in, you know, his goal in life or purpose in life would be. But that wasn't really all the story. But instead, he went on to become one of America's greatest presidents. And one of the greatest examples of the truth that failures need not to be the final answer. And that was Abraham Lincoln. Most of you didn't know that, did you? About him. You know, the Apostle Paul is the great biblical example of this truth that he writes to the Philippians from prison where he is suffering for his testimony of Jesus Christ. And from this Philippian prison, he writes, you know, as he's suffering for his testimony. You know, and Paul suffered a great deal in things, and he could have laid there, and he could have been in despair, and he could have been discouraged. But we don't find him discouraged. He writes not in a complaining spirit, but he writes on the contrary. We find him, you know, in this oppressive state, writing encouraging words. All the time. He was always the encourager. He said, it is possible. He said, consider. You know, we want to consider three things this morning as we begin this new year. You think about this. Paul said, first of all, his attitude towards the past, we find. You know, Paul pictured that the Christian life as a race, and here he thinks of himself well on the way down the track. He says that he is not concerned about the ground he has already covered. He is concentrating on the ground yet ahead to be covered. He says, I forget the past. In other words, Paul said, if I made a poor start or if I made a stumble in life on the third lap, that's the past. And this is no time for regrets, for I have to keep pressing on. That's the way we all have to be. We can't look back. We look back with disappointing things on our failures and goals that are not reached or our opportunities that were neglected. And, you know, Paul could have easily focused on that thing. He could have, you know, he could have made that dungeon a tomb of despair. But he didn't. It reminded me of that song. You know, I used to watch Hee Haw as a kid. And they used to come on there with this little skit and they would sing this song. They'd all be sitting on this log and they'd start singing, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. I know it well. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And then they would start taking turns telling about their bad luck and all their despair that they had. You know, and I think that's the way we get sometimes. We just get. We worry about all those things that happen to us, and it puts us in a place to where we're depressed and we're living in gloom and despair. And that's our life, is gloom and despair and agony on me. You know, that's not what the Bible teaches us. It's not what the Bible teaches. Rather than, you know, we should be living in delight. You know, we should learn from the virtue of forgetfulness of what God has forgiven us for. Amen? He could have remembered, Paul could have remembered how he persecuted the Christians and how he watched Stephen be stoned. He could have remembered all that, and he did at times in his writings. He said, I was the worst of that, but he said that was my former life of who I was, but I can't focus on who I was. I got to focus on who I am now. And now I serve Christ. I'm in Christ, and He's in me, and that's my main goal. That's my focus now. Why should Paul here dig up and remember what God has buried and forgotten? Remember that this morning. Don't dig up what God has already forgiven and forgotten. Amen? That's what Satan wants you to do. You know, we need to concentrate not on our past failures. We need to concentrate on our future successes. Amen? We need to take off the old and put on the new. You know, we can't focus on the negative stuff all the time. And that's what we want to do, especially in this world we live in today. Man, you watch the news and it's negative. Negative. That's all you watch is negative. And I get so tired of it, like I can't even watch it anymore. I don't even want to watch it because all I'm going to hear is a bunch of negative stuff from both sides. Because we have sides now. You know, we're not just Americans. We're those Americans and those Americans that are split. You know, it was like that during the Civil War, during Abraham Lincoln's time. People were split. Pastors had a tough time then preaching. You read the history of Phineas Brazean, where he started his... He actually got kicked out of a church. They run him off. They were about to beat him up over the support of slavery. You know, I mean, there was a division then like there is a division now. But we're always going to deal with that stuff. That's my point. There's always going to be negative things in this world. There's always going to be those things to focus on that will drag you away from completing what God wants you to do. And Paul is saying, the mature Christian follows what the Scripture tells. And he says, and he looks, you know, at the confidence, with confidence of the future. That's what I'm trying to say. He doesn't look at the past. He looks at the future with confidence, saying, you know, it's going to be better today. It's going to be better tomorrow. I don't have to focus on what we can't change. You know, I want to say this. You know, you may have failed yesterday, but you haven't failed tomorrow. Amen? Think about that. And by the grace of God, there's hope that you'll not do so. Amen? Man, we have God to help us. You know, Satan's greatest delight is to keep God's children's conscious on their sin-scarred past, that they might concentrate more on the muck of their old nature and neglect their new nature in Jesus Christ. That's what he wants you to focus on. You know, many Christians dwell in that negativity and because they cannot forget the past. You know, Martin Luther wrote, he had an awful time with this. Satan constantly reminded him of his sinful past that left him depressed. He even got so, he felt the presence of Satan so greatly one night that he threw an inkwell at him. Can you imagine? He never gained victory until he relied on the fact that the blood of Christ cleansed him from all of his sin. And it's written in one of his books that I have, that when Satan tempted him after that, Luther said, "That is not all. There is this and this also, but Christ has forgiven me of it all." I love that. Satan had no power over him anymore. He realized that God had forgave him. God has forgiven you. God has forgiven me. And it's forgotten about. It's buried. God saved me. And he saved you. You know, I say, let's start off this new year with not that weight on our shoulders any longer. Lay aside the weights. Let us run the race that is set before us. Confess to God. Claim His promise of forgiveness. Let's forget it and press on. Amen?
Amen.
We should never make light of sin. It's serious. But neither should we focus on it either. You know, Lot's wife could not forget the past, and as a result, she let the past dominate the present and eliminate the future. She became salt, right? You know, and I think that if we as Christians who follow her example will lose our saltiness, that's what the Scripture says, and no longer be effective as a servant of God. You know, a man said he visited an orchard and saw a plum tree that had fallen in a storm, and he asked the owner what he did with it now. He replied, "I gathered the fruit and burned the tree." That was Paul's attitude towards the past. You can learn from the past failure, but you don't live with it. You gather the fruit and burn the tree. You get rid of what's dead, right? Amen? The second thing we learn here this morning from Paul is his aim towards the future. You know, Paul diverts our attention from the past that he might direct it to the future. And the word here from reaching forth is used as a runner straining with his chest out across the finish line. You've watched them guys do that before. They get to the end and they stick their chest out to try to break the line. Paul admits he's not yet attained to perfection, but he is aiming towards it. And he makes that the goal of his life. You know, we talk about Christian perfection. We talk about heart perfection. And it's a goal that we set. It's the aim. And that's what Paul said. I haven't attained it yet. I've not got there. I don't know what it's all about. I don't understand it all, but I'm aiming towards that. That's my goal, one of these days, right? My focus is on that. He's aiming towards it, and he makes that the goal of his life, and Paul has been in the race for a long time. He really has, and now he's coming to the end of his ministry, the end of his life, but he does not really level off his thinking or retire from the race. You know, I think we got a lot of retired Christians sometimes. They retire from the race. They give up. There's no such thing as retirement from the Christian race, according to Paul. The goal is ever before us, and that is to be the primary motivating factor in our lives. You know, in 1838, a man resigned from the U.S. Patent Office because he said this in his letter of resignation, which is still on file at the Hall of Archives in Washington. There is no future in the Patent Office. All the great inventions have been accomplished. In contrast, you read Henry Ford's statement. Henry Ford once said, "We here in this nation are just beginning." One man's perspective against another. We have all of eternity before us. What we have done in our invention and industry is just a drop in the bucket compared to what we can do. Amen? Amen. Our real future is ahead of us. And I have faith in the future. You know, I read the Scripture and, you know, we can see doom and gloom in the Scripture, but that's not the focus, right? The focus is on Christ will return one of these days. Amen?
Amen.
That's really what it's all about. For we that are believers in Christ, if we have our faith in Him, it's not about the doom and gloom of all the other junk that goes on during that time. It's about the goal. It's about the prize. It's about finishing the race. It's been set before us. Paul says, "I have not yet attained, but I press on." Those who lose their ideas or ideals say that I have not attained, and so I quit. I remember reading, I can't remember who said it, but they said the kingdom of God will be brought in by Christians who were, when last seen, were heading towards the summit. Pressing on. You know, there's a tremendous power in there's a single most important purpose in our life. You know what that is? Single most important thing in our life. Making it to heaven. Is that what it is? Or serving Christ and being like Him. You know, we can concentrate and put all of our energies on one thing, and I know we like to do that. We like to get involved and do things, you know. But Paul says, you know, I focus on one thing, and that's finishing the race. It's been set before me. That's what his focus was. That was his most important purpose in life. He had things. His former life was what it was, and he had a purpose in. He said, "I was a zealot, and I was the most zealous of them all." And he persecuted the church, just like when he became a Christian. He was zealot, man. I'm telling you, because he focused on the goal that was set before him. I wish we could all be like Paul, but we can't. We're not all chosen to be Paul. Amen? God gave us all a purpose. He put us all here, made us all different in many ways. But He gave us all a job to do. You know, the source of Paul's power is his focus on the single most important purpose in his life. Get your eye on the goal and do not let anything divert your attention from it. And the future will be as bright as God promises it. Amen. You know, Paul was aiming towards the mark of Christian perfection, but he is yet not perfect. And Paul knew that he never would be until he saw his Savior face to face. And that would be the prize, right? Amen? Amen. The mark is to be like Christ, and the prize is to be with Christ. Can I say that again? The mark is to be like Christ, and the prize is to be with Christ. You know, holiness is our goal, and we've been talking about that over the last several weeks and on Wednesday night. But holiness is our goal, and heaven is our prize. Amen? Amen. As long as we're here on this earth, we're supposed to represent Christ and to be as much like Him as we possibly can. And that's why Paul says, not that I've attained it yet. I'll never be like Christ. But yet I keep pressing on every day with my eyes focused on Him. Not on the past, not on my stumblings, and not on my failures, but on what is set before me. Because I got to be like Him. I got to be who I'm called to be. Holiness is our goal and heaven is our prize. And the distinction is important because many are confused by thinking that the aim of life is to get to heaven. This is like a runner who thinks about the trophy instead of thinking about the finish line first. You've got to finish the race in order to get the trophy. Amen? Amen. It makes it complicated, uncertain. For those who aim for heaven, there's even more uncertainty. For those who, you know, our aim is to be like Christ, and heaven then is the reward. Does that make sense? I don't want to get confusing here this morning. I got a bunch of stuff written down here. I don't want to get mixed up. You know, there's a scripture that says, happy are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall see God. Amen. Man, I like that scripture. If we seek the prize instead of the goal, we will miss both. That's what I think. But if we strive for the goal, we will get both. The world tries to get the prize, such as happiness, but they ignore the goal needed to be reached. And so they are like the runner who leaves the track to look for the trophy. You know, the ancient Egyptians, they were messed up, man, I'm telling you. They had a prize-centered focus rather than a goal-centered focus, as we as Christians do. And before you died, you had an opportunity to buy a magic formula from the priest that would get you into their heaven. And they knew that their human heart was really bad, and their concept of judgment was on their God that would require them to pay that price just to get to heaven. They knew that no one would ever make it, and so they devised a system of magic that could make your heart lie for you. It would deceive the God and get you into heaven. That's the way they thought. Isn't that messed up? They had no goal of being worthy because all they wanted was the prize. One writer said, when it is carried over into one's religion's aim, is it results in people who have no interest in being like Christ, but who only want God's blessings. They want the prize without reaching the goal. I like that, what he said. So many people want the blessings of God, but they don't want the work that it goes into the rest of it. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, what's it take really to follow me? There's a cost to it. He talked about taking up your cross and following me. And he said, there really is a... You need to consider this. What's it going to take to follow me? There's more to it than just the blessings. You know, I could talk a lot about on that. But all of us are in danger of aiming for the prize instead of the goal, and so we need to make a conscious effort to be like Paul and aim towards the Christ-likeness. That's what Jesus said. You're going to be like me. You'll do greater things than I ever did. That's what he told his disciples. He said, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to leave you here, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to give you the strength and the power to do it. But he said, you're going to do greater things than I ever did. Man, isn't that awesome? The third thing we find here this morning is his action in the present. He said, there's no point in forgetting the past and aiming towards the future if we do not do something in the present. You know, Paul says, with part of the track behind and part of the track ahead, I press on. You know, there was on a tombstone of a man killed while trying to reach the peak in the Alps are words, he died climbing. I think this could be Paul's tombstone written on that. He died pressing on. He never stopped. He kept going. You know, if you ask Paul at any time what he was doing, I'll say that he would say that, I'm pressing on. Man, I want that on my tombstone, I think. I'm pressing on. I'm still moving on. I think this should be our motto, amen, for this new year, is that I'm pressing on. I'm moving on. I'm forgetting. I'm laying down the things behind me, forgetting those things that are in the past, focusing on what's ahead, and pressing on to the mark, the goal. You know, Paul was a great Christian because he specialized in being like Christ. He did not say, these 40 things I dabble at, but the one thing that I do in the Scripture. You know, I think we get so messed up by trying to do too many things instead of just focusing on the one thing that we're supposed to do. You know, we get a lot of doctors like this. You know, we have a primary doctor. We have a general practitioner that we go to, right? You know, and they kind of cover everything. They kind of know things, you know. But then we have specialists. We have these doctors that, you know, they specialize in certain things, and that's what their focus is. And, man, they know a lot about that one thing because that's their specialty. That's what I want. None of us can know all things and be all things, but we need to focus on being like Christ in our realm of life here. We must be specialists as Christians, mothers and fathers. We need to specialize in being like Christ. Amen. To everybody else around us. You know, Paul says, I follow after and I try to apprehend that for which I am apprehended by Christ. The point is that Jesus has already saved him. That's what he remembers and opened up the opportunity to be in the race. And it's no longer up to Jesus to determine how you run it. It's up to you. Jesus has done his part. And now it's up to each runner to run the race. And how far and how fast is a personal decision. We have free will. You can drop out of the race anytime you want. Amen?
Amen.
Whether you make progress or not is determined by God, but is not determined by God, but by you. Some will say they will press on, but others will just not do it at all. You can't blame God or anyone else A.W. Tozer said, "I have preached for years to some people who still have bad dispositional flaws. In addition, they have moral weakness and suffer frequent defeats. They have a dulled understanding and often live far below the standard of Scripture and outside the will of God." You know, I think that's true for many of us at times in our life. Instead of trusting God, we live in our weakness and we live in our frequent defeats. Instead of living in the love and the grace that God gives us. He doesn't want us to walk around defeated. Thank God every church also has, I will say, those people who are pressing on, who always show their strength, be good examples, just like Paul was. He was writing these letters from prison, and not everybody can be like that, but he's encouraging the ones who have weaker faith. And he's telling Timothy, he's like, "Timothy, keep going, man. Keep pressing on. Keep fighting that good fight. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't look back. Keep going forward." The greatest improvement any of us can make in our lives is to concentrate on being like Christ in all that we do. We cannot be just like Paul, but we can all have Paul's philosophy of life. And we can give heed in forgetting the past, being faithful in the present, and pressing on into the future to reap the fruit of our faithfulness. Amen?
Amen.
So as we move on into this new year, let's make this the best year that ever. Amen?
Amen?
Not only personally, but as a church, let's make it the best year ever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, I know that You've already set before the goal. You've already told us what You want us to do. So Lord, just help us and guide us, Lord, to accomplish that goal. Lord, give us the strength. Lord, let us be more like You. Lord, let us turn our focus on You. Lord, I know it's this world is hard enough to live in without You. Lord, we need You in our lives every day. Lord, we pray all these things, Lord, in Your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen.